What up though, this your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of the Doc Hicks Podcast. Today we have a very, very special guest on the platform today. He goes by the name of Edrick E.D. Boyd. He ranks from the southwest side of Detroit. He was born in Detroit, but he moved to New York and came back in his teenage years. Now, unless you've been up under a rock, I'm pretty sure you heard of Big Meech and Southwest T, and you possibly have seen all the different DVDs and documentaries based around Big Meech's name throughout the years. This is the first time that you're gonna have the opportunity to hear from a gentleman, the actual gentleman that was Big Meech and Southwest T's mentor when they were teenagers. He's the one that actually introduced them and taught them everything that they knew and know in the drug game. Keep in mind, all these experiences and events that we're talking about in this particular interview started and was over 30 years ago. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this interview. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, first, please be sure to subscribe and also rate our podcast and also leave a review. And just like we do always, when people leave us good reviews and five-star rankings, we will give you a shout out in one of our upcoming episodes. But in order to give you a shout out, we need to be able to see your name, so you have to leave a review. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this exclusive interview.
Right. You know, and we did not miss a Sunday without doing that. Mm. You know, and I'm going to say this too, from, you know, when Kilo introduced me to, you know, to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he didn't know nothing. I mean, I'm talking about he was green. He was green as a watermelon. You know what I'm saying? He was green. But you know what? He took on fast. And like I said, I spent a lot of time with him. And, you know, I groomed him to be a boss. You know, because I'm going to tell you, you know, it, you know, like I said, I don't want to be no... Never wanted to be a follower. I always wanted to be that leader. You know what I'm saying? Because the leader, the one, you know, get paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I groomed him to do that. But, you know, like I said, you know, he did not know nothing as far as that game, like, you know, and what we were doing, you know. So, you know, he learned quick, you know, he listened. And he was hungry, you know. I could tell him to go home. He's like, "Fuck that, man! I'm going back out." Whatever, you know what I'm saying? He was hungry, you know. And he brought them boys on. And I'm gonna tell you, you know, like people saying on some of the things I hear on the internet, it was only 350 boys. That was Meech, Terry, and Derek. Okay? All of them might have had some guys that they, you know, dealt with, but they wasn't 50 boys. Mm. It was only at that dinner table on Sunday, it was us four. Nobody else.
And, I know you said you took a liking to Meech. Like, the world now, we see the type of personality, the, you know, the partying, the shining and the diamonds and all that stuff to the world now, that Big Meech. Did you see that early in him then, like being flamboyant and flossy and stuff like that back then?
Not right off. No, not right off. You know, but the more money he was getting, you know, of course, you know what I'm saying? The more money you get, you know how that shit go. The more money you get, you know. The more you're gonna get comfortable with it, and you're gonna start, you know, acting a different way. You know, it was a situation that I got those guys with some meat coats, and they was on a salient with ropes and meat coats doing their thing. And you know, I pulled up, and first thing, you know, they could tell, you know, the way I was looking, that, you know, they was fucking up, you know. So Meech came over to the car, and, you know, he said, "Man, I know what you finna say." I said, "Yeah, you know what I'm finna say, man. You know, y'all need to go get that shit off, man. Take that shit off, man. What, you know, what the fuck, what do you think you doing, man?" So, but you know, like I said, they respected what I did, you know, because I took care of them. They did what I said, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So they was outside hustling. This was at nighttime or during the daytime?
Man, daytime. It was during the daytime. But if I wouldn't have said that, they would have been up there all night like that.
Yeah. So would you equate to either one of them having a more of a demeanor like you? Or, you know, like as far as, would you say T, since T was kind of more of the low key one, not mm-hmm. the flashy one, would you say he got that more from you? Because I have seen letters or whatever where T said if they had any type of creative control with the series and everything that's supposed to come out, that they would want it to start with you. Like, mm-hmm. would you be opposed to not necessarily signing off your likeness or being a part of that if it was to come up?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't, because you know what? It's like you have to start from the beginning of how they started, because it was 50 boys before it was BMF. And if they wouldn't have learned, my opinion, if they wouldn't have learned what they learned through being 50 boys, you know, I don't think they would have been, you know, big as they turned out to be. Okay. And you was introduced to the game by me. Okay. Just like and everybody, just like the incident I said earlier, you know, I groomed them to be bosses. Okay. Just like I wanted to boss up and lead Bear, that's the same situation, man. You know, you eat your wings and you say, like, fuck this. I'm going to do this and do that. You know, when they made that move, hey, man, I gave them my blessing. You know what I'm saying? They called me. They said, look, man, we need to talk. Okay. I said, okay, meet me on Ethel. We talked. And they mentioned, you know, some things. And I'm gonna be honest, some of the things they mentioned, you know, I wasn't down with it. So, you know, we came to the conclusion. He said, well, will you have a problem if we went off on our own? I said, no, hell no, I wouldn't have a problem, man. You know, I, y'all men, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna stop you from going, you know, and I groomed you to be a boss. You're not gonna be with me forever under my wings. And you know, and you definitely ain't gonna hurt nothing. The shit gonna go on, you know, because it was like it was before you came, and it's gonna be actually, it got better. And I ain't gonna say it got better, because it was a big part, you know, of my portfolio, you know, because you know that gimmick I brought it into that situation. So they was a big part of that, you know, so. But, you know, they had my blessings on that. And you know, like Derek said, when I heard his thing, you know, we was family, man. Okay. So you can't get mad at family if they they want to do their thing. What you going to do? You know, you can't get mad at them. Just, you know, give them blessings and advice, you know, how to move on and what to do and what to watch for and all this, you know?
Right. Right. You mentioned a family member of yours named Kilo that unfortunately got killed, passed away. Was that something during that time? Is that what made you slowly start wanting to get up out of the game and also try to, you know, get the rest of your family not to get in the game?
Doc, you know, that was, yes, definitely a big part of it. But I'm gonna tell you this, man. You know, it was an incident. I believe this incident was one of the major parts, man. I was on 7 Mile, and I think it was the Halen, one of them streets, man. It was and I was in the car with a friend, okay, and I was on the passenger side. So we waiting to see somebody, okay? And you know what I mean, to see somebody. So We on the dark street. So I didn't like the whole situation. I said, man, why the fuck we, you know, he got us meeting them here, you know? So, but it came from a good source that this person that I was meeting was straight up and I wouldn't have no problems. But anyway, so we sitting on, off of 7 Mile or whatever, you know, I'm not sure what street it was. I can say it was to Halen, whatever. And, so I look in the mirror, you know, on the side mirror on my side, right? So I see somebody coming up with a motherfucking coat, and he came up, he started blasting. So I'm talking about, I had buckshot from my neck all the way down to my arm to my hand, because he had a 12 gauge or sort of whatever. But if I didn't see him and he would have got closer, I would have been dead, man. Flat out. So that's something you gonna go through. This is what I'm saying. Motherfuckers gonna try you. They gonna try you. I don't care. You know, some motherfuckers is just crazy. Don't care. You know, about the respect that you got or who you are. That you gonna get tried. Okay. But that was one. My house got shot up. You know, that was another. You know, it's just so many things. You know, that led up to this. And I was like, you know, man, I had fun, man. You know, I done traveled to places people dreamed about going. You know, I wore the tailor made clothes. You know what I'm saying? I stayed. You know, and I wouldn't let nobody see me. In cashmere coats, a Balsalini hats. I stayed like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you know, I ate it at five-star restaurants that people never ever went to. You know, so I spent a lot of money, and I'm glad I got the chance to do it. So yeah, I said, you know what? It's time to, you know, wean myself out this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I didn't want that life, you know, I didn't want to end up like that, you know. So, you know, I casually just weaned myself out there. And after that, I've been working to this day, man, for almost 20 years, man, 25 years. You know, I'm about to retire in about 2-3 years, man. So, it's a time for everything, man. You know, everything, you know, it has, you know, its actions, it always has its consequences. And I just wasn't, you know, down with it, you know, because, you know, we come, you know, like I said, we come from an educated family, you know. I have two beautiful daughters, Courtney and Mook, and Courtney blessed me with a grandson, you know, Demond. My daughter Mook blessed me with my granddaughter Kamaya. You know, I got nephews, you know, Dre and Angelo. You know, both of them was at Michigan State. Dre left Michigan State to go to Oakland University. So, I mean, you know, and all the people that I just mentioned, you know, Dre and Angelo, they in college and they still got 2 and 3 jobs. Okay. My daughters, they've been working for, you know, for the last 10, 15 years or more with good jobs. But, you know, they want to be entrepreneurs too. You know, they got an edible thing going out called Highly Flavored. So, you know, they people patronize that, you know. So, you know, it's just a lot that, you know, that led up to that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that I got a transition out of that I was safe, because you're going to either get killed, get that toe tag, or you're going to sit down. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think I am one of the 5%ers, you know, who I don't even say, I want to say it was luck. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I came close, you know, like I said, I came close to death. I've been wrecked, all that, harassed and all that by the police, you know? So, I mean, it's, And, you know, that takes toll on a person. And, you know, you want to move on, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's real. I'm glad that that you were able to see the things that you've seen before, you know, the inevitable came, and that you made that transition. During that time, during your height, did you, like, have any investments, like, during that time, like, in other businesses or anything? I heard that, like, you had a limo service and all different type of stuff like that as well.
Yes, I had a limousine service, TCI Limousine. Actually, I had a partner. It was me and a partner with that. And one thing didn't have to do with another. You know, I had a couple of rental properties as well. And I had an investment in a couple of car washes, one on the east side and one on the west side. But I'm going to say this too as well. You know, like I treated, you know, I'm just going back to Meech and Terry Fries, them 50 boys, you know, they did not miss a concert that they went to in limos with backstage passes. So I'm saying, I treated them well. I treat them very well, you know, and it was ventures that I dove into, you know, like I wanted to start up a luxury rental car place, renting Maserati, Porsches, Benzes, and all that. And it almost went to happening, but a guy that I was dealing with, he ended up on something that's entirely different, and so nothing had to do with me and what I was doing. He did some fed time, and that blew through. But you know, my business didn't have nothing to do with what I was doing out there, man.
Right. Yeah. I did want to ask you about like back then during that time. You said, you know, getting harassed by the police, the jealousy, and different things like that. Like, I wouldn't even say at your height, but just during your run, was there like a lot of people trying to like snitch on you? Was it a lot of snitching going on back during that time?
Well, you know what? You know, of course, I can't say 100% nobody was snitching, because I'm sure they was, because it's always gonna be, you know, because it was point that, you know, we went to places and set up shop, yeah, and my motherfuckers was just snitching to get rid of us, you know what I'm saying? But you know, and I'm gonna go far back. Okay, in New York, you know, it was different in Detroit. You know, you got motherfuckers snitching, and then they come around like ain't shit happening, you know, all that. You know, that's something that I understand. Like, they thought snitching was something on the norm. I don't know. Yeah, I think. But in New York, they ain't play that shit. And, you know, people got dealt with on that type of thing, man, you know? And it was just something that really didn't happen, you know? So, I'm sure it was, you know, snitches involved, you know, and it's always going to be. And that's another, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's another thing you got to deal with. You don't know who you can't trust no motherfucking body. You know, who you trust yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, you trust your instincts. You know what I'm saying? Because you got motherfuckers that's going to hate on you. You know, I'm talking about they're going to hate on you. To the point, man. Yeah, they do anything to get rid of you and get what you want.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to bring that up, because, like you said, you want people to see both sides of the game. That it, you know, that of course you make the money and stuff like that, but it's a whole nother side to it. Like, if it was someone,
yeah. Most definitely, it's a side, and you're gonna deal with that damn side, man. You know, and ain't no way around it. Doc, ain't no way around that shit. You gonna deal with it, you know? You know, I'm gonna tell you. You know the reason why motherfuckers thought I didn't, you know, catch cases and all that shit? Why? Because because it, you know, I didn't go out there blasting, you know, yeah, because my motherfuckers, if I didn't go, damn, man, motherfucker, you know, yeah, came in, ran up on me, you know, yeah. If you seen it, you seen it. If you didn't see it, you didn't see it, you know. But, you know, I caught, you know, a couple of cases and shit, you know. But, you know, that's when you got to spend damn near your money on lawyering up. You know what I'm saying? So you got it's shit you got to deal with, man. That I'm going to say this, man, is, and I don't care how many times I say it during this interview, man, it's nothing that you want to get into. You know, I was young, you know, like this happened 30 plus years ago. And, you know, I was just so, I was so surrounded by it, you know, and I was just seeing stacks, you know, I was just seeing money everywhere. I just wanted a part of it. You understand? So, and then it's other options. And like I had options and my mother sure made sure of that, you know, like, you know, I went to school after I graduated, I went to like a trade school or something. I forgot the name of it, but it was an air traffic controller school. And for all places, it was in Miami Beach. Damn. Damn. Are you serious? So I was there for 6 months. I met people there. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, my mom, it's like she can't win for loser. God damn. You know, everywhere. I'm like, so, you know, that didn't pan out for me, you know. I came home and I tried, you know, do that, but it didn't work out. And I was, you know, hungry, man. I wanted more than what my mother gave me.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. That, you know, that's funny, but crazy. You know, you say go down there to do that in Miami.
Yeah.
If it, you know, like, I know you said, like, the overall lesson that you want people to hear, like if it was someone that was listening to this right now that was even in it or thinking about getting in it, you know, would it be any type of advice that you would give to them?
No, I would tell them, my man, look, it's different avenues, man, especially now, because the game now, oh man, it's nothing like the game back then. I'm saying, you know, it's just something that you don't want to do. It's short money. You understand what I'm saying? It's short money. You might, you know, what you see, you know, these motherfuckers out there with their shit on, their bling bling, whatever, all that. But you don't see the bad part. They're going to always show you the good part.
Right.
But there is a bad part to that, man. You know, it's short money. Go, I mean, you know. And none of my people are afraid to work. You know, I mentioned, you know, everybody got jobs and maybe two or three jobs. My nephew CJ, he been working for years and stuff. My niece Ebony, man, you know, she got a great ass job and she raised my two nephews. She raised them to the T, and she raised them, you know, being a single mom, and both of them. Was at it, where they one is still at Michigan State. I'm gonna say it again. It was at Michigan State, and then the other one transferred to Oakland. Cause so she's a great mom, and she would, you know, she's you know, I'm proud of her. Like I'm proud of all, you know, my family. I love my family. I'm, you know, his family is the first thing I think about, and I want them to see me. If I'm, you know, if I'm gone, let me go for natural causes. You know what I'm saying? Don't let me go away in this game thing. I don't want my, you know, I don't want my grandkids, Kamaya and Damon, you know, know that's I went, you know, doing some shit that I wasn't supposed to. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that for nobody in my family. You know, so it's if you're thinking about that shit. I'm telling you now, you're going to end up toe tag doing some motherfucking time that you're going to wish you was toe tag. And it's just not, you know, just it. I was just one of those 5%ers, man, that got in there and got the fuck out.
All right. When you heard about Big Meech and Southwest T getting them 30 years? Like, how did it? How did you take that?
You know, I wasn't happy, but I was, you know, I was sad for them because I didn't think they should have got that much time, man. Because it's motherfuckers, you know, that did violent crimes in that game and didn't get that much time. So, you know, to this day, I don't feel that they should have got that much time. But like I said, you know, I don't know 100% that BMF history, you know. I just knew what I knew from Terry and Meech, you know what I'm saying? But it's just that, yeah, I wasn't happy with that time because I don't think they should have got that much time, man, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Well,
yeah, it is, man. You know, it's ridiculous because, like I said, man, it's motherfuckers that did, you know, violent criminal crimes. I'm not criminal crimes. They did crimes that was, you know, violent, and they did not do that much time. So, you know, they made advantage out of them boys. You know what I'm saying? You know, the years that they got, I don't think they should have got it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any last things that you want to put out there before we end up wrapping up this interview?
Yeah, I'm going to say this again, man. You young men, you young women, you guys, you know, it's different avenues, you know. You know, what I did happened, you know, 30 plus years ago, and it's not the same thing. You know, don't believe the hype, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just keep your mind on, you know, people don't think that school work. That school thing does work, you know. You just, you know, you got to be dedicated to it, you know. And just stick to it, man. The game ain't the game no more, you know. You're going to deal with, you know, you're going to deal with shit that you know, you're going to regret in the long run. That's a fact.
I do want to, let me ask you this, like, with all the deaths and stuff that you've seen throughout your whole life, like, how do you deal with that now? Did you, like, do you hold it in? Did you ever get counseling for it? Or, you know, or how do you deal with all that?
Well, I never got counseling for it, but, you know, man, we come from, the men in our family, we hard, and I'm a loner, you know what I'm saying? I never lived around, you know, my family always lived far out, you know, to this day, I don't, you know, I live far out. I don't be around. So I'm a loner. You know, yeah, I think about that, you know, all the time. You know, I think about Kilo all the time. You know, my as far as my father, you know, I was 3 years old when my father died, you know, playing Russian roulette, man. So I really didn't know him. I knew what people would tell me, you know, about him, you know, how hard he was and all that. But, you know, you deal with it, you know, you think about that shit. What I think about is, damn, man, I'm so glad, you know, I got out that shit before some shit popped off. Because I came close to you know, shit that happening, you know, a few times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely greatly appreciate the interview, you know, and at any point in time, you know, if there's any other messages or anything like that you ever want to put out there to the people, you always got the red carpet.
All right. I appreciate that, Doc. You know, I just wanted, you know, make it clear, man, because I didn't like, you know, some shit that was saying, and I wanted to get it straight. And then, it's things that people didn't know about me and, you know, that I wanted to, you know, put out there, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely wanted to put that message out there to you know, these people, that young dudes and women that's thinking about the, you know, getting in the game, you know, or if they in the game, you know, they need to think about getting out the game, because there's different avenues they can go down, man.
What up, though? This your boy DOC, And I got a very, very special guest on the platform today. If you would like to go ahead and introduce yourself and where you're from.
This is Edric Doc, and people might know me as ED from Southwest Detroit, New York, Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy.
Word. Well, I greatly appreciate, you know, having you on the platform today. I know we got a lot to discuss. You know, it's been a lot of things that's been coming out on the platform as of recently, you know, dealing with the BMF and the 50 Boys and everything. I do want to start off by asking you, you know, after being in the background for so many years, you know, what made you want to come out and talk now?
Well, Doc, you know, I was, you know, hearing a whole lot of things that I didn't like. It was things that I wanted to, you know, straighten out and make clear. You know, it was stuff that it was made up, you know, but, you know, I believe they had good intentions, but, you know, I'd rather be on that real tip, you know, so you're going to hear from the horse's mouth. This is the truth, no lies. And, you know, this is, you know, from where my point of view of what happened.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess we could go ahead and start back at the very beginning, you know. So where were you actually born at?
Okay, let me say this first and foremost, Doc. What we're talking about, this is 30, 35 years ago, okay? I was born in Detroit, okay? My mother moved us to New York, Brooklyn, when I was three. So my sister was maybe four or five. She thought moving us there, you know, would get me and my sister, I guess, away from this type of life. Because it started off with my father, my grandfather, actually. They called him Flap. And he was a big number holder out there in Southwest Detroit. He had the biggest book out there, you know. So he was known, you know, the boys was known, you know, for that. And my father, he was a professional boxer, but he also was in that game. He died playing Russian roulette. He died playing Russian roulette because he was a fierce dude, man. I mean, nobody fucked with him when mom, you know, when it came to ED, because that's where originally ED came from. His name was Edgar Dallas. Then, you know, the name just got passed on to me. Okay, and I also had a uncle, which was my father's brother, Eric. He was also in their life as well. He got killed as well in the game over there on Dexter and Claremont, found in an apartment building. I also had a cousin, Ronnie Harris. He was a professional boxer. He also fought in the Olympics. So everybody that, you know, you know, my family is from back then. They know what I'm saying is real. I was brought up with, you know, around it. It was in my blood, you know. But, you know, when my mother moved us to New York after the my father died playing Russian roulette, she thought, I guess, it would be a different life for me and my sister. As it turned out, it wasn't, you know. I was moved there, and I caught my first case when I was 10 years old on the rails tagging, you know, for my set. And I grew up and was raised in the game from the New York point of view from this dude named Caesar. He was a Puerto Rican dude, you know. Where I lived at, it was Puerto Ricans, you know, blacks and Jamaicans. Caesar, you know, he was big time back then, you know, and I grew up watching him and all that. And he put me down, you know, as I was on the roofs watching. You know, we had pigeon coops up there. You know, I took care of those for him and being a watch out, you know, as far as on the corner, you know, riding my bike up and down the street. And, you know, New York, every block, it was your playground, you know what I'm saying? We played stickball. We played stickball in the middle of the street, and sewer plate was our home plate. We also played a game called tops, where you fill, you know, bottle tops with asphalt. You shooting them from box to box. You know, it was a life, you know, that I grew up with doing out there, and to the point, you know, Caesar took a liking to me, you know. you know, because he seen that I was hungry, and he trusted me.
So basically, after a while, due to your hungerness and stuff like that, like, you eventually, you moved up. Like, how did you, was just Caesar was someone just in your neighborhood and y'all just randomly ran across each other? Like, how did y'all actually meet each other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he set his shop up on my block. You know, it was like a 3-4 block radius, you know, and he was the man there. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that was doing something, that was Caesar shit, you know? And like I said, you know, hey, I was in his face every day, you know? Sometimes skipping school to be in his face, you know what I'm saying? So that's how that turned out, you know? And he took me under his wing, you know? I went from, you know, like I said, being rooftop corner watches, a bag man, you know what I'm saying? You know, to a higher degree in his organization.
Right, right. And this was basically still like in your early teenage years. So when?
Yes, I started off fucking with Caesar and that life. I was young, man. I was like 8, 9 years old. When you in that game back then, man, you had babies, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, they recruited babies, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was alive, and I always was considered a New Yorker because I wasn't considered no outsider, because when I went there, I was 3 years old. So, you know, everybody, you know, just knew I was born there. You know, I had that accent. I talked like that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I wasn't considered outsider. So, you know, people, they liked me, and, you know, I was, you know, just taken care of well.
Right, right. So was there a particular situation or anything that made you move back to Detroit?
Well, I believe it was a few things. My mother, you know, saw, you know, that what – moving there, that really, it didn't help the situation none. So I figured, you know, I mean, I think she figured, you know, she might as well, you know, just going back home where the majority of our family was. We have family in New York, but they was basically on Long Island, you know, her father, and they was basically on Long Island. But and also I think that contributed to it. My sister, you know, was getting into things that my mother didn't, you know, want. You know, I would have to go find her. She, you know, was running away and all that. And I would have to go. I always knew where she was at, you know, because like I said, you know, the streets was, you know, behind me. And, you know, I knew where to go. And if I didn't, you know, I went to my man Caesar. And he would find her for me. But I believe that contributed to it as well. You know, I'm not downing, you know, what my sister did, but it's just that life of New York. You know, my mother wanted us, you know, she kept us dressed. I mean, we didn't want for nothing. So I really didn't have to do what I was doing. But, you know, you young and you see that going on, man, you want a taste, you know. You can't help to get that taste, and then, you know, you gonna get either jumped in or you gonna get fucked with every day. So you had to make that choice as well.
Right Yeah. So basically, it became, besides just your sister, your mom ended up being able to see kind of what you were doing?
Yes, of course. Yeah, she's seeing what I was doing because, like I said, I started to skip school. And when I caught that rail case, she sat me down. You know, she tried, you know, she did that talk, but, you know, I didn't listen. You know what I'm saying? You know, my mind was on something else, you know. So, you know, she's just, you know, after that, you know, 5-6 years after that, you know, she came with that moving back to home. I'm not going to say home, moving back to Detroit. Because actually when we did move back, you know, I still kept in touch with, you know, my homies back then and whatever, you know. And I still, like I said, we had family. And my excuse to go back was to visit the family we had there.
Right, right. So, like, so leading up to them last couple of years before coming back to Detroit, were you already, like, kind of connecting the dots back before you even came home to continue in the game? Or you didn't want, you know, or when you came home, you wanted to start fresh?
Okay, well, I didn't, when I left, I doing that thing in Detroit wasn't on my mind, you know what I'm saying? Because I was thinking, man, you know, I'm going to say this. I was like, yeah, okay, well, yeah, we'll go back, but I'm coming back. I'm going back to New York, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not, you know, staying. I didn't want to, you know, make the transition. But, you know, I'm young. I had to do what, you know, my mother. I listened to my mother because I respected my mother because she raised us as a single mother and she did a damn good job. Like I said, you know, she kept us fresh, kept us. We was in, we had all the newest fashions and all that, you know, it was, you know, no problem with eating, nothing like that, you know, so. I had to respect a woman like that.
Right. That's dope. I'm glad she did, you know, did what she had to do. And it was just you and your sister.
Yeah, it was me and my sister Yasmin. I have actually another sister, Juanita. She was she's my stepsister, but she wasn't in New York with us. She's always stayed in Detroit.
Okay. So basically when you moved back to Detroit, you were staying on the west side?
No, actually, when we moved back, the first time we moved back from New York, my mother bought a house on Liddesdale. Okay, so we stayed there. That's where we stayed at on Liddesdale. And I didn't go to Southwestern. You know, I went to E-Course because, like, she thought that was a better school for me to go to. She always looking out for me, far as that, you know, the education side, and wanted the best for me. So she thought E-Course was a better school than Southwest Detroit, that I could, you know, it was not more I don't know. She thought it was a better school for me to go to. So I lived on Lizzie, but I went to E-Course High. And my grandparents still stayed on Bassett and Salyette. So I would walk down Salyette every day going to school, you know, stopping by there, whatever. But yeah, I stayed on Liddesdale. And after that, a couple of years, my mother, you know, she got a real nice job. And she bought a house on Oakman and Timon, you know, those big houses over there by Dearborn. And yeah, but we're right across from, you know, like where all the Arabs and shit stay at. Okay, we had a nice house over there. So, and I was still going to E-Course. Of course, you know, because I was driving. You know, she had a car, you know, because as soon as I turned 16, whatever, right, and I was able to get a permit, I'm driving. So, you know, I was driving at 14, 15, 16, I was driving, you know, so. You know, we stayed over there. I still went to E-Course.
Mm. So from that transition of going to E-Course, did you start off, did you get like get re-back connected to the game? Or was it like a certain situation that made you, you know, get back into it?
Okay, well, I didn't hang in E-Course. Actually, I had my family had a car wash on Joy Road in Quincy, okay, on the west side. So I worked and hung out up there, okay? And I always used to run into this dude. I don't want to say his name, you know. I ran into this dude, and I would always say, man, you know, I seen he was in the game and all that, you know, man. Come on, you know, put me down, man. Put me down, put me down. So eventually, you know, I got introduced, you know, to that I liked when I was, you know, in high school from him, you know. And this is a part of when I was with Bear. He had a brother named Huggy Bear, and it was Bear. Bear was the younger brother, well, not the younger brother, but he was under Bear. I mean, under Huggy, and I was in his set. And then that's when, you know, when you see motherfuckers, you know, on the corner with the army fatigue, and, you know, from the boots all the way up to the hat and all that. And we used to have this building on Lawton, okay? And we had the whole building. It was like a four-story building. We had the whole building, you know. I used to work in the building, you know, back then, you know, it was about, you know, you sticking it through the hole and they, you know, give me your money, and you was barricaded in the motherfuckers, you know? So once you in there, you in there for, you know, your duration of how long you going to be in there till somebody replace you. So, you know, me and my boy, we was in there, you know, so we dealing with this, you know, and, I mean, it was a situation that I really didn't like, because, you know, you stand in there, you know, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes more than that. And you dealing with rats, roaches. I mean, it was a condemned building and we took it over. But, you know, that's where we were at. So.
All right. So did that, with that, throughout that situation dealing with Bear, was that the progression to end up dealing with kind of YBI or Sneed from YBI?
Okay, well, I'm going to get into that like this. I kept going at Bear and saying, look, man, you know, we need, you know, do this shit out there in, you know, Southwest Detroit, East Coast Ridge, man. And like they was like, where? What the fuck is that? You know, they wasn't with it. They didn't think, you know, it was. I said, man, I'm telling you, man, it's for the opening, man. It's wide open, man. We can just take that bitch, okay? So, but they wasn't going for it, you know. So, you know, I was groomed, you know, from Caesar on back from New York, from the I think from my blood and from my people, because we were all bosses, you know, we were never followers, you know. Right. So we you know, so you know, I my aim is being a boss, okay? So, you know, I just took off, you know, and did my thing.
Oh, so you just went ahead, even though they wasn't down with it, you went over there to Southwest East Coast Road by yourself and got it going.
Yes, I did. And the transaction, it wasn't as simple as you may think, you know, because, you know, once I went and they seen what was happening, now he wanted to get involved. But, you know, because I took a lot of people that I had that was, you know, down with me. They went with me and all that. So, you know, and he didn't like it. And it was an incident that we was in a hotel out there. Me and this cat named Jan, man. Jan, he stayed on Bassett. And we was in there, you know, doing our thing and, you know, whatever. It was like a spot for us, but that's where we, you know, you know, did our thing and, you know, prepared for, you know, for it to go out or whatever. Anyway, but Bear showed up to the hotel with a couple of guys to wreck me, to take the shit up, to take the shit over. But yet, did he know the guys that he brought out there to wreck me? Because actually, he didn't tell them who, you know, who he was coming to get at until till they got there and they seen it, that it was me. And they said, oh, no, man, this ED, we, you know, what's up, man? We not going to do this. So it was just end up me and Bear. We got at it. So, but after that, you know, he seen that he couldn't do nothing about it. And, you know, that I had so much respect out there, you know, that he couldn't do nothing about it. And it got left just like that. You know, that's when, you know, I was introduced to Snead from a cousin member. You know, she was fucking with Snead. And she introduced me to him. So me and him clicked right off the bat. We clicked right off the bat because he was impressed with how I came to him in a week's time. He was like, damn, you know, he was impressed with it, you know. But that went on with me and Snead for a minute. Snead got killed. You know, like, like you young guys and women that's listening, you keep listen to what I keep mentioning. Kill, got killed, whatever, you know, because you're going to end up with, you know, somebody around you, or you're going to end up with a toe tag, okay? But that's when, you know, I moved on messing with Herbie Daniels and Raymond Peoples, so.
So basically, to clear it up, wherever it was any confusion out there, you never did mess with Butch.
No, I did not. You know, we frequent the same sets, but I never fucked with Butch. You know, I never fucked with Butch. You know, like I said, I fucked within that clique. You know, I wasn't a YBI. I was affiliated with him, but I wasn't one. Okay. You know, I never fucked with Butch. Okay, like I said, the ones I fucked with was Snead, okay, Raymond, and Herbie.
Yeah, and definitely the like you just said, constantly bringing up getting killed and death and stuff like that. Cause especially during that time, it was a very dangerous time during Detroit during that time.
I'm gonna tell you, anybody that tell you that it's a smooth sailing, or you know, you gonna have a beef, man, you know, with somebody, rival gangs, rival sets, you know, motherfuckers that's just jealous of you, you know, whatever. I didn't have that problem making that transition Southwest Detroit because I was so well respected. Everybody knew me. Everybody knew my family. But I'm gonna say this: it was rumors that I never did no time, and I never, you know, had dealings with 5-0. But that's not true at all. You know, especially when I was on the West Side, and that, man, I've been wrecked so many times, man. I'm talking about beat up by the motherfucking police. You know, I'm talking about going, getting raided in spots, and they took me down. You know, back then, and everybody back then gonna know what I'm talking about when I say this: the Room of Doom. Okay, that was narcotics down at 1300 Bobby in the basement. That's where you went, and when you go there, your ass getting fucked up. Point blank. You getting your ass, you ain't going to no cell for at least 10 hours. You and that motherfucker getting your ass whooped. You know, that's, you know, what happened. We had this young guy that was on a set with us, man. And he had long hair. That motherfucker was in here cutting his hair with scissors, man. I mean, it's some shit that you go through, man. You look back, man. I'm so glad that it didn't go far further than I seen it go with other people.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, and it's another thing. Like I said, people who said that I didn't get dealt with the police, but I'm gonna tell you another incident. I think I was on like Deacon and Busy Girl, or Annabelle and Busy Girl One, and I was in my Jeep, and my wife and her sister was following me to her mother's house on Ethel. So I got pulled over just when Popeye was out there and all that. They pulled me over. So they didn't know that my family was behind me. So my wife, she pulled over as well, like maybe 2-3 cars down just to watch, right? So you know, they came to the car, did their little thing, whatever, you know. Back then, they don't come to the car asking for no fucking license and all that. They, you know what I'm saying? They don't do that. They don't care if you got no license or whatever you driving. You know, they first where the shit at? You know, you got something in the car, and I say, man, come on, I ain't got shit. You know what I mean? Nothing. You know, I got a couple hours in my pocket. Well, get out the car, okay? So first thing I did when I got out was I yelled to my wife. I said, y'all know I ain't got shit on me, right? So he jumped in my face. He said, if you don't get rid of them motherfuckers, I'm taking you to jail. So I told him, man, y'all leave, okay? So they left, right? But they still took me to jail. But you know what? They took me to 3-4 different precincts so nobody could find me for at least 5 days.
Damn.
They took me. They started off. I think I forget, was that precinct? I don't know if it was on Schaefer and Grand River. I started off there. Now first I was at Fort Greene. Then I went from Schaefer and Grand River, and I don't know. It was a couple more that they moved me to, but it was 4 different precincts because you know. I was kind of out of it because they was kicking my ass everywhere I went. At Fort Greene, they kept me there. They kicked my ass. But like I said, you going to deal with that type of shit, man. Ain't nobody going to tell me that they went in the game and ain't shit happened to them prior, you know, no beefs, no wrecks or nothing like that. You going to have dealings with all that type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know?
Right. So even with all the respect and everything that you had out there, I'm pretty sure, you know, like conversations and whatnot, having like some of the best work and everything going over there, was the easy transition to take over. Did you deal with that any over there, like jealousy in that area after, you know, you set up shop over there?
We talking about Southwest Detroit?
Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was people that was jealous, you know, and all that. People didn't like me, you know, but like you, I was type of dude, and I learned this from way back from Caesar, you know. He took care of his own, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, I paid a lot of people's bills, you know what I'm saying? I looked out for motherfuckers, people that was, you know, losing their car, you know, I made sure they kept their car, their homes, all that. I fed a lot of motherfuckers too, you know, so, you know, I was, you know, not only respected by the street, I respected by the people out there.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it wasn't much, you know, as far as it said, you know, they couldn't do nothing about that, you know, because, you know, I was well respected. You know, it didn't matter if I came from the West Side, New York, and then came out there. But it was just not just Southwest Detroit. Okay. I still, you know, my portfolio was very big. Okay. I dealt with people from all over.
Right, yeah. So something that kept coming up in some of the videos that we were doing, you know, of course, Bassiet, one of the houses over there, they said like it was like a meeting house or something like that where they come over there and cook and everything, but no one knew the stuff was over there. Like, was that true?
That was Ethel. That was my mother-in-law's house.
Oh, okay.
I was over there a lot, like I said, because my mother-in-law used to cook all the time, you know, and everybody used to come there and eat, you know, so, but little that they know, things was popping for me from there, but not only that, you know, it's like 5, 6, 7 different places out there that, I hung. I never stayed in one spot too long.
Right. Yeah, you basically, like you said, from the game that you learned from Caesar, you kind of stayed low, stayed to the back.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying with Caesar. That I think that's what I liked about him. Everybody they knew of him, but he was so like, you know, in the shadows and shit, you know. But when he came around, you know, it was always a block club party. It was always, you know, something going on. Cause back then, you know, like I said, the streets was our playground. The swimming pool was the damn fire hydrant. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, get open a can, aluminum can on both sides, and that's how we were shooting water with the fire hydrants, man. You know, the fire department would have to come shut us down after 5-6 hours. They let us go for 5-6 hours or whatever, but that was our swimming pool. That's what the playground was. We you might as well call it. We had the concrete playgrounds.
Right. So. How long was the transition of going out there doing, setting up shop, doing your thing before Meech and T end up approaching you?
Okay, well, T didn't approach me. It was Meech. Meech used to be on the corner of 19th and Sally at every day. Okay, his woman stayed over there, Talise. You know, me and her real cool. You know, Talise was a good friend of mine. You know, I knew the family and all that. But yeah, he was messing around with Talise at the time. Meech and my nephew, Kilo, another one that got killed in the game. Okay. He was cool with Demetrius. And he would tell me, man, because every time I ride down the street or whatever, he'd see me outside, hanging outside the house. Man, he would speak. He'd wave, you know, come down there, you know, we'd talk, you know, I say, Kilo, he inside, you know. And he said, okay, then, you know, but Kilo said, man, oh, boy, he want an intro with you, man. You know, I said, you know, well, who is he? You know, because I didn't know, because he was from the hole. You know what I'm saying? You know, only reason I knew his face because he hung on 19th Street every day.
Right.
So that's how I said, so you know what? You know, hey, bring him to the house. Tell him to come to the house, you know, the next day. So he came to the house the next day. And I liked the way he was talking. You know, I could tell from the rip, he was hungry. You know what I'm saying? He was hungry. I told him. You know, I was talking to him and I was saying the right shit to him and he was saying the right shit back to me. So, you know, eventually, you know, he became my Lou. One of my Lou's, actually, you know what I'm saying? So, and he, after a minute, he brought Terry and Demetrius in. Terry and Derek in. And that's, you know, how that happened.
And this is around Big Meech around that time. He's around 15, 16 around this time.
Exactly. Yeah. He was around 15, 16 at that time. Exactly. He was around 15, 16. And you gotta have a gimmick, man, if you want to make some money in this game. I'm gonna say this. So, I kind of, you know, went a little bit too much, but let me go back and I'm going to start on this. Like I said, Meech brought Terry and Derek into the game and, you know, that's such when it became 50 boys. And the reason they were called 50 boys, because, you know, I had some shit that was humongous that nobody could, you know, compete with. You know, they couldn't fuck with it. And I was the first motherfucker that brought that 2-for-1 out there. Okay, motherfucker that was 2-for-1? Damn, what the fuck is this? Kmart, Kroger's, and Farmer Jack? Motherfuckers in, you know, 2-for-1? That's crazy. You know, they ain't motherfuckers that couldn't afford and they couldn't do that out there.
Right. But that was, it was that shit though.
Exactly. You know, it was that and they couldn't touch it. And that's why that was such a successful thing for us. But don't get it twisted. It was more besides them. Like I said, you know, I had a portfolio. It was, you know, I had other people, you know, that I was dealing with out there. And if in that area and West Side, you know, and a few people on the East Side, you know, it wasn't just them, but I took a liking to them, and I brought a lot of attention to them. You know, I spent a lot of time with them. Every Sunday, you know, I told them they would have to give me 4 hours at a time. We went to dinner, and after dinner, we went to Northland. And, you know, when we went to dinner, you know, they'd tell me about, you know, if they got me, you know, we would talk. We would talk like a family do at the dinner table on Sunday.